listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I'm sitting on CHROME, sipping Brass Monkey, Digger got the Remy, Mar and I'm star in the field like I wanna, hit the strip club and I think that I'm gonna, see my nigga Jose, Mita, K-Pasa, we going to the spot, need a ride? I gotcha, so come in, come on in, come on in, it's like fire when you see the chrome spin, I paid the valet, I stepped to the stage, I think I wanna play with the girl in the cage, lap dance, lap dance, lap dance, baby look, I got come all in my pants, I just checked my wallet, no more dough. I just paid your rent, and now I gotta go. She did me till I was done. Smooth like ballet. Walked outside. They say they ain't got no valet. Somebody caught me slipping, dipped with my ride, but we gonna catch they ass on the B side. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
I never realized that verse from Master Ace was all about getting jerked. Jesus, what a horrible night. Then got his car stole, lost all his money to the strip club. I mean, yeah. Jose ain't got no ride back. This nigga done gave Jose a ride. Well, how Jose getting back? Damn.
Everything went wrong.
Jesus. Anyway, guys, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
A bullet ball extreme. Okay. Today's podcast is sponsored by a sexy little sponsor called Adam and Eve. Can't just read this copy without no accompaniment.
Sweetheart, I've been trying so hard to get over you.
But you can't get over.
Just simply can't.
It's impossible. You won't be able to get over this deal either.
You sure won't.
Adam and Eve is determined to help you spice things up in the bedroom. And they're backing up that promise. Check this out. Go to adamandeve.com and you get 50% off of just about any item when you enter offer code TBGWT at checkout. That's a good deal by itself, but also now backed by popular demand is the Big O kit. Everybody loves the Big O, okay? The O is short for orgasm. Everybody should know that. It's trying to help you get off by giving you the Big O kit, which comes with climax gel and a mini vibrator. So now you got a new way to get off. And in addition to that, you also get your entire order sent to you for free, the free 99. So hurry up and take advantage of this limited offer. You can choose a new adult toy, a naughty movie, or almost anything else. When you choose that one item at 50% off, you'll get free shipping plus the Big O kit, which includes climax gel, mini vibrator, and you won't find that deal anywhere else. Put in code TBGWT at checkout and get your deal. Get hooked up. That's TBGWT at adamandeve.com. Baby,
from the first time I saw your face, girl, I knew I had to have you.
That's what it's gonna be like.
Is it a dream?
Open up that box.
Yes.
That's
the music you're gonna hear.
Yep. All kinds of news is going on. I don't even know where to start, guys.
Can I do some random thoughts?
Why don't we have Karen do some random thoughts is what I was thinking. Go ahead, Karen. Break it down.
Okay. It's two, and they really short.
Well, I have a lot of them, so
okay,
go ahead.
Okay, so I'll go first. My first random thought is, you know, you got me them yoga pants.
I did. That's correct. At Target.
Yes.
Very expensive.
And I'm going to tell you one thing. They was worth every motherfucking dime. Mm-hmm. I love them pants because most of the time, quote unquote, yoga pants come to your kneecap, your upper, you know what I mean, the upper part of your leg. But, and that's probably why they were more expensive. These are like the full length of your leg. Mm-hmm. And then, the way it is, they actually are longer than regular yoga pants. And I had a good time in yoga class. Because I got to squat and stretch, and the way the pants is, they almost cover up not your whole body, but like above your waistline, so they actually fit really good. Honey, I was bending and squatting and downward dogging and all that shit, and I ain't have to worry about nobody sitting to crack of my ass and shit like that. You know, because a lot of times yoga pants depend on how they're made. You think you good until you actually get in the class and you start downward dogging and getting out on fours and chumarumbling and all that other bullshit, and you be like, oh shit, you know, that's why sometimes you have to be sure your shirt is extra, I'm talking from a woman's perspective, be sure your shirt is extra long or whatever to kind of cover those things. Sometimes you don't realize that people can see your underwear and your drawers and shit like that. And so I realized that with this, I could actually just work out and not actually worry about flashing nobody by accident. Cause you know, I've seen other people do that to me, and I know that they don't even realize it, nothing like that, you know. And it, and yoga is not trying to, it's a very intimate, for those of you who haven't done yoga, it's very intimate. A lot of times, depending on how your yoga class go, most of the time they keep the lights dim. For most yoga classes, they keep really, mellow music happening, in yoga classes. But yeah, when you bending and squatting and doing warrior one, warrior two, warrior three, and all that other bullshit, stretching and shit, it actually is really good, you know. But it's one of those things, from my perspective, I was like, I love these pants. It's the first time I actually felt completely and utterly comfortable. I mean, I've always felt comfortable doing yoga, but like comfortable from that perspective. You know, people have sports bras and stuff like that, so you know, of course, you know, you moving around, your shirt going, you might fling up, you know, you might see a, you know, a titty or two in your face. It's men to take the class too, so I'm trying to shout out to the men, if you know, want to watch women be comfortable in their own atmosphere, they don't care nothing about you looking as long as you're participating in the class. Now if you at the door staring, they're gonna tell you to get the fuck away. But
yeah, it's funny how that works, because like I was thinking about this today, how you know, every women know they got a big butt before they leave the house and everything.
Come on.
Every woman that got a big butt always owns articles of clothing that the only design of the clothing is really to cover their ass. You know, like it'd be 90 degrees out on a hot summer day, but you gotta walk to Jersey Mike's, so you gotta put on a fucking sweater over your ass. Even though everybody know you got a big butt, everybody can see it, you know, quote unquote, but it's something about it where it's just, you know, men are that fucking thirsty acting and say wild shit to people. And I'm sure it's not a huge mitigating factor, but I was thinking about the psychology of that today, like how, you know, I, as a man, I never would have to worry about something like that. You know, it's not like, oh, let me, put a fanny pack over my dick print. You know, like you never, as a dude, you never have those. That's not even a consideration of any article of clothing I've ever bought, was like, oh man, in case somebody's gonna be looking at my ass or something, I better get a backpack or some shit, you know. But mm-hmm. Women, like that shit could be its own store probably.
Yeah, and that's why I know for a lot of women, they particularly if they have bigger or wider at the bottom, a lot of them have tendency to wear longer shirts too that actually kind of cover up.
And I'm talking about also like just sweaters,
right?
Shawls, big ass scarves. Yes. And shit, you know, there's like all kinds of women, they go to the office and they put that shit on, you know. It's like, and somebody was Twitter was like, yeah, people gonna know you got a big butt either way or whatever. And I was like, I know, I'm not suggesting that you're hiding it or that it's working, quote unquote, but I think it's kind of a deep, not deep, but a psychological reason, which is that the male gaze and patriarchy is so fucking strong that men like to see women being deferential, and them covering up is a sign of deferentialness to men who are watching. And it's kind of like in the same way that like a burqa for some men makes them feel, you know, like, okay, she's the right kind of woman, she's covering up herself. I think that shit works on some men that way too, where they like to see that there's a woman trying to attempt to cover herself, because God forbid, you know, she just wear what the fuck she want, because what if I want her? What if I'm lusting after her? What if I'm attracted to her? Well, now I have to put all this shit into her plate. Like, well, why'd you walk out the house like that? Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Whereas if they try to cover up, there are some men, not all, obviously, but probably a very small percentage. There's a small percentage of men, I think, that would be like, well, I'm not going to ogle her too hard because she trying, you know. It's like, it's like how a woman could be fine as hell, but she in church clothes, and men will react differently than if she's in her club clothes. But it's the same woman in the club and in church. But, you know, it's something about, you know, well, she doing the quote unquote right thing, so I'm not gonna say nothing.
Yeah, and also people really don't talk about the psychological issues that it actually put on young ladies, because you have a lot of women that actually, and young girls that actually has like full fledged titties and asses like at 12 and 13 years old. I'm talking about like full fledged mm-hmm. your 30s and 40 D's and all that shit at a really, really young age. And you know, from that point on, it's like the second you show any form of development, dudes actually are on you like a hawk, particularly black girls, and everybody want to call you fast, even your own family members. And you were like, well, how am I fast? I don't know nothing about sex. I'm not fucking. I'm not doing anything. I'm just goddamn existing. But because my body just happened to develop quicker, all of a sudden I'm the problem, that my body is just doing what my body naturally does.
And with the sexualization of little girls and black women in particularly, there is like this extra pressure of like, cause I've seen black women specifically talk about like yoga pants and shit and be like, I'm not comfortable wearing them. I'm gonna look like a hoe. I'm gonna look like a skeezer. I'm gonna do this. Meanwhile, you know, white women wear those same things. They not a thought in the world about that shit. They probably go to church in yoga pants. Like, it's just not a big, the world just solidifies their worth and their value in a way that's so much different, than I think black women get to experience. So, it's like a, you know, I see women talk about, black women specifically talk about how uncomfortable they are with this stuff. Not all, obviously, but then there's a lot of, you know, white women that's like their outfit, basically. It's like, I'll get out of work, I put on yoga pants, and then I just do what the fuck I want. So people, hey, I wear yoga pants to work. Like, I'm comfortable, I don't give a fuck, you know? So that's an interesting perspective. But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut off your thought.
Oh, no. And that's true. And I think that it actually, I know for me, I love going to yoga classes where you see people of different sizes. Like, that's beautiful to me. And you see people that they don't care. They got their sports bras, they tank tops, or whatever else they wearing in there. A lot of yoga classes, people are barefooted in most yoga classes. I mean, you could do it with socks and things like that. But most people are kind of barefooted and things like that. So I really actually like that. And also, I had, not this week, but last week, I was like, I wanted to go to yoga class. I normally go here at the house, but the lady had canceled it because of the holiday. So I was like, well, let me go on down to the Y. And I, was like, I'm gonna go down to the Y to see what time they had class. I looked online, they had an early morning class before we did the show. And so I went through the class, and in the class, the girl said, she says, hey, is your name Karen? I said, yes. And so my yoga instructor is actually a fan of the show, so shout out to you, baby.
Oh, that's dope.
Yes, I didn't realize it is. She said, I thought it was you, but I wasn't sure. And she said, I didn't want to. She was so sweet. She was like, I didn't want to bother you. And she actually did a really, really good job. And you know what? The thing is,
did you ask her, was she coming to the live show? Just get to sell them 2 tickets?
No.
No? Okay. Just check it.
No, I didn't. I didn't ask her.
No excuses, yoga lady, if you're listening.
Say no excuses.
You in the local area. It's no excuse. We expect to see you.
No excuses.
Bring the whole yoga class.
Bring the whole class.
We're going to all die with dog together.
Right. And the thing about the class was that I was late and it was raining. So I apologized to her about being late. But the thing is, I should have known we were going to vibe, because when she was playing music and she was playing like, Jill Scott, and like she was playing some black ass music. And normally when you go to, not trying to find it, you go to yoga class, is that white folk music, you know, that the drums beating kind of mellow type of music, or either it's a lot of like Hispanic type of, which I don't mind, a lot of Hispanic type of music. No, it was like, this is just a black ass class with black ass music. And I was like, I like this a lot. I was like, I will be back.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I had a ball in a class. And like I said, it was mixed. So it was men and women and people of different sizes and even people at different skill sets. Because for me, I know I'm not that flexible because I sit all day. And when the biggest reason why I started even taking yoga is to reduce stiffness. Because a lot of times you get stiffness in your lower back. If you sit for extensive periods of time, you get stiffness up in your shoulder and your shoulder blades. And yoga helps stretch, you know, and helps get that stiffness out. And so we was doing different moves, and honey, we started doing that runner's lunge. Mm-hmm. And fuck that bullshit. I was like, oh no, I will be using the blocks for the runner's lunge, because you know, I'm old and stiff, and I was like, I can't be doing this. So I use a lot of blocks to assist me. You know, I know a lot of people, when they be doing yoga, they be trying to be bold and do what the teacher do. I'm like, nah, I can't do that.
Well, that's why the blocks are there.
Right, that's why the blocks is there. And so shout out to the blocks, they're your best friend, and shout out to the straps, they're your best friend too. So you know, for those of you just thinking about yoga or doing yoga, you know, and it's not because I'm in like the intro classes, I'm not doing nothing advanced, nothing fancy or nothing like that. I'm just yoga 101, talking about like not no fancy yoga, just the basic yoga class. And so I am really having fun. I'm realizing that I'm not as stiff, I'm not as sore at work. And I really, really like it. So, you know, I'm just giving a push for yoga. That's because I actually really enjoy it. But shout out to my yoga teacher, and shout out to you for getting me them yoga pants. Them best yoga pants I ever had. So, you know, I won't be flashing nobody no more. And also, I use my yoga pants for to run too, because they actually fit really, really great, and they are breathable. So when you run, you're sweating and all that type of shit, and you know, it's actually breathable. So I use my yoga pants for yoga and running. For me personally, I love it. And my second thing I want to talk about, I know people been following me online, y'all been going through this journey with me with my mama's photo albums. And so I've been having a ball, like, going through the photo albums and scanning them. Cause we could have sent it off and got somebody else to do it, but I was like, well, I'd rather do it myself. Cause I mean, I just didn't want to pay the money. I'm not trying to fight. I just like, I don't feel like paying all that money. And when I'm going through the photo albums, my mama, she has like 45 versions of the same pictures. So it's actually cutting down. I'm like, oh, I got 8 versions of this picture. So it's not as bad as I'm thinking it is. Cause she had like the big one, the small one, the wallet size, the one in between.
What, she keep all the proofs? What is this?
Nigga, all the proofs. I was like, what the fuck is this?
That's a life hack right there. I don't even know if they do that no more.
Yeah.
But they give you the proof picture, you just be like, I'm gonna keep this.
She got the proofs, the little bitty wallet sizes, the 8x10, 10x8, all of them.
I'm saying she bought the pictures, but I'm saying they also give you them proofs, and them proofs got like 10 pictures in them. Like, hey, yes. I graduated. Here's a proof pic. Why does it say proof on it? Because it's proof I graduated. Now send me some graduation money, and right? Let's do this. I'm not buying all them damn pictures.
I refuse to buy all them pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, she has all types of stuff in there. And I've been through like 4 or 5 books. I got about 4 or 5 more books to go. And nigga, I did not realize that I was going to find non-photo shit in the photo albums.
Mm-hmm.
I found 2 social security cards
for your mom.
There were 2. One of them was for my cousin and my cousin's mama. Both of their social security cards. Like,
I hope they don't need them.
I hope they don't need them either. And I found a birth certificate.
You trying to open up some lines of credit?
I don't know what's happening here. And that's trying to find
I'm saying that's enough material. We can
the birth certificate. The birth certificate and social security card was for the same person.
Girl, we can fan con them items.
I was like going through. I was like, yeah, I got pictures. I was like, what the hell is this? And I found my mama's divorce papers from 1979.
Yeah.
I found some paper for it. I opened it up. It was like divorce papers. I was like, who's divorcing? I was like, oh, her divorce papers. And honey, I was kind of glancing through it and reading it. I was like, wow. And it was like that old typewriter shit. Like somebody actually sat down at like one of them old school typewriters and went, I was like, oh my, and it was like in good condition. I was like, well, goddamn, she kept this in good condition.
Oh, you wanted to be proof if it ever come back up.
And she got all the proof. And I also found a handwritten letter from one of my cousins from 1982 to my mama. I was like, well, shit, what am I gonna find in the rest of these photo albums that are non-photo worthy? And somebody was saying, you know, photo album is like one or two steps below the Bible. You know how people got their Bibles, like the big, you know, older people had these big, thick, and they're normally white, sometimes they're black, thick
now
Bibles.
You know everybody's business.
Right. So, and you know, they stick all types of shit in there. I know if I go through my mama Bible, it probably has all our baby hair chopped, you know, your mm-hmm. your first ponytails and all that shit chopped in there. A lot of black folks keep that in there, and all types of, and the photo albums I got are just the pictures. Y'all, she had a whole nother two sets of photo albums that were death certificates. And my mom was like, I don't want you to go, not death certificates, obituaries, I'm sorry, obituaries.
Oh, wow.
And she was like, I don't want, she's like, I won't hold on to the obituaries. I said, cool. I said that.
Yeah, that's kind of morbid.
I was saying, like, if you wanted me to, let me know. She said, no. She said, I want to hold on this, but I guess she's 70 something years old. So I, over that time, she's probably been to a lot of funerals. And so, she just keeps them all. I was like, okay, if that's what you want me to do.
Yeah, that's, interesting.
So it's been a pure, fun-filled adventure. And it's wild though, because it's been emotional, and funny all at the same time. It's been emotional because, like, some of the pictures, you know, you looking through pictures back in the 60s and 70s and 50s and shit like that. Like I said, paper that they don't even make no more. I'm talking about Kodak and, you know, Polaroids and all that type of shit. And it's just amazing going through and remembering, because, you know, I was a child in some of these pictures. I cannot wait till I finish and post these pictures of me when I was a baby. My mama, she loved pictures, y'all. So I got photos and Googles of photos of me and some of my other family members. And so it was, and some of my family members have passed. So it was just a mixed bag of emotions, just going through and remembering and laughing and remembering the pics. So I guess I rather do that and just go through the, I guess, the emotional journey. And so it has been a fun ride. So a lot of times on the weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays, I scan for a few hours and then I'll stop. But it has been a fun ride, going through that. Like I said, I keep y'all updated on what other non, photo stuff I found in my mama photo albums.
Yeah. Well, let me know about that line of credit. Like I said, we're going to open something up, get something started in somebody's name.
Something crack-a-lacking.
So the other things, only things I wanted to add were, so I talked about how the website went down, and then, you know, the power kept going in and out, and then my laptop had died, like, froze on me last week. Mm-hmm. And I got a new phone. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, technology was really trying to kick my ass over the weekend. I left out two things I forgot to bring up. Number one, of the two things, the two extra things, the fucking DVR lost all of our recordings for TV.
Yes, it did.
Everything I was saving is fucking gone.
Yeah, it was like, poof. I was like, I keep shitting on the DVR for a reason. Like, we be busy, so a lot of times we might get, you know, 2 or 3 weeks behind on shit. Or you might decide to binge a whole season or something and say, well, I'll go back and watch it later.
Luckily, I caught up on most of it. And shout out to the Xbox One and all the apps that come with it, because I was able to catch some things. Like, Sci-Fi has an app, so I could catch the latest Expanse. Luckily, I was only one behind on the Expanse. AMC has Into the Badlands. We're 2 or 3 weeks behind on that. We need to sit down and watch those, because they only keep a certain amount on the app and then they take it off. So we need to do that. We had, Hulu has the dubbed version, because I'm a dubbed anime fan. I'm not a sub anime person, partially because I like to multitask when I watch stuff. And the other part, because a lot of times reading subtitles literally makes me sleepy. It's like reading before bed. Like, I'm laying there on my couch reading subtitles, and next thing you know, I'm fucking, so
yeah, I can't do it. I like the English version, people. And like I said, maybe it's just my bias, but certain anime, I'm just accustomed to the English version. Particularly, they was talking about online Dragon Ball Z, and yeah, Vegeta sounds like a privileged white man, and I am here for him being like, I am the Prince Kakarot, you know. So I am here for that. So I actually love the English version, because yeah, I'm not learning that language.
Yeah, I prefer dub to sub for a couple reasons, and then also I think snobby anime fans always try to make it sound like all the dubs are bad, but it's such a fucking lie. Especially the major budget ones that are like coming to Cartoon Network and shit, they actually take time to make sure that the voice acting is well done and that the translation is well done, which is something that a lot of times subtitles don't translate well. So they'll have like some sentence and it just doesn't fucking make sense to my English brain, who's reading the fucking, you know, my American brain is reading the English and being like, well, why? Oh, no one talks like that. What is that sentence supposed to mean? And then you get the, you know, you hear the sub version and you're like, oh yeah, we say that all the time. I get what he's saying. He was being dismissive or he was being sarcastic or something like that. So, you know, I think people just, you know, people like to feel like the thing that isn't the most popular is always the best. So
yeah, y'all go ahead and judge me. I'll just be 45 million episodes behind. I'm good with that.
Yeah, I've already been judged for like an imitation crab over regular crab, so the only guy could judge me at this point. But yeah, we lost all our DVR recordings, and what I was saying is Hulu had My Hero Academia, and I found out the whole like first season or two was actually on there dub, so yes, I might have to just watch it on there rather than wait for Cartoon Network to cover it.
And shout out to Aaron from Black Astronauts. He told us about that. Baby, that shit is flames.
Yeah, it's pretty good so far. Reminds me a little bit of One Punch Man. We'll see where it goes. Only thing is, the fucking main character, that nigga be crying so much.
He's the most crying nigga ever, ain't he?
Every fucking episode of this shit, this nigga be crying. And I'm just like, is this nigga gonna cry through the whole, I don't think I could watch this motherfucker cry a whole fucking series.
He
man.
Happy, he cry, he sad, he cry, he just cry.
God, he be crying. Anyway, and then the other thing that went wrong, I forgot to mention, somebody tried to run my debit card in France from some like home shopping network.
Motherfucker France.
And like my bank called me while I was out eating a burger, was like, hey, did you make these charges? And I'm listening and it's like, if you made the following five charges, then hit one. And so I'm listening and it's getting through like four things that I know I definitely got. It's like, did you get a cheeseburger from up the street? Did you get some gas? Did you go to Publix? I'm like, yeah, I did all those things. And then the last one was like, did you spend $150 in France? I'm like,
no, nigga.
Did I spend $150 in France?
No, but so let me play that one more time.
So let me play that one more time. And it was like, did you do this? And they didn't say France, but it was like, did you, and a charge from internet 75, you know, some shit. I'm like, I don't know what that is. Like, an internet charge from so-and-so. And so I was like, can I speak to an operator? She's like, yeah, so these charges. I'm like, I don't recognize that fifth charge. And she's like, so did you do this in France? I'm like, no. And she's like, okay, well, we had already declined the charge. There's no other charges. I said, I know, because I literally just balanced my checkbook using my Excel spreadsheet or whatever.
Come on.
So I know ain't no charges I didn't make on my car, because I checked my shits to the penny. And
don't be,
you know,
trusting these banks, they ain't your friend.
Some habits never die, guys. Anyway, so she was like, well, then we're gonna cut the card off. I'm like, well, it's Saturday and now I ain't got no debit card. She's like, well, you can still write checks. I'm like, who the fuck writes checks?
Right,
come on, man. So I, you know, it was like, you can get a temporary debit card, and I just had to wait till the bank opened on Monday to do it. So, but yeah, that was someone definitely put a root on me. I know who it is. Don't worry, they're gonna get what's coming to them. And you know, stop being petty, move on. Okay, I've moved on. You take the root off of me, take the curse. There's no reason to go through all this shit. All right, so then random thought wise, I had a few. So we went to a Japanese restaurant the other day, and I always forget this when I go to certain Japanese restaurants, but it was one of those kinds that has a hibachi table. Mm-hmm. And they was like, would you like to sit at the table or sit by yourselves over to the corner of the table, at a different table? And I was like, I want to sit by myself. And it's funny, when I used to go out for lunch at this Japanese place, I would sit at the table, and we'd all, like me and my coworkers, you know, you do that thing where a motherfucker tries to, like, you know, come out and make jokes and all this shit. But it's kind of changed in my lifetime, because
it has.
One, those chefs used to be Japanese, now they're all like Mexican, which I don't know what happened to make that happen, but that's, it's like
probably
a thing
cheaper.
Two, I got uncomfortable with the like racial stereotype of the Japanese chef person, like the foreign chef, quote unquote. Like, no offense to them, but it's almost like they got a coon to get their money. Mm-hmm. And that shit used to make me so like, I just had a like epiphany one day where I was just like, is this like the Japanese version of cooning? Cause you know, as black people, we have our thing where we're like, oh, this nigga cooning. I can't believe he out here doing this. I was
like, this is like a, you know, cause some of them probably are like professional chefs with like degrees and shit. And they out here going ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Like this. And I'm like, I don't feel too comfortable contributing to this.
Yeah. And it's like the broken English jokes and the smile and the all this shit. And then my favorite was when I would get, every once in a while you get like a Japanese chef, like hibachi dude with some integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And that motherfucker,
it's no jokes,
it's like a depressed chef almost, like he just sitting up there like chop 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 chop. Mm-hmm. Let me just do the things they tell me to do. You want me to throw this shrimp in your mouth? No, okay, then good.
Yeah, all he right. Do the little onion thing.
Anybody
wants? Don't be no excitement,
right? Here's an onion volcano. You happy? Good, bitch.
Right, next right. Table,
here's everybody's sauces. Where's everybody from? You know, that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would get some chefs that was out there like, oh, you know, like using broken English and like, you know, making like all the racial jokes and shit, you know, the, you know, like, oh, he very, very, very hungry. You want shrimp? Shrimp? Open up. Ah, and all that shit. And I'm like, yo, I know, like, I've never been there with another, like a Japanese person, but I wonder if they would be like,
offended,
looking at him like, nigga, stop cooning and just make the fucking shit. I know you talk great English and shit. I ain't got with you on the weekends. It's not even like this.
Right?
But the other part of it is, cause that's this porn part. The other part of it is though, I can't imagine going to a restaurant and sitting at a table with six random strangers. Many more. And I don't know if that's an internet thing, or just the fact that I'm so aware of how other people think and act, and the viral videos of like random Trump people throwing tantrums and white people being racist has just driven me to a point where I'm like, mm-hmm. What are the odds of me sitting at a table with six strangers and feeling like everything, nothing crazy is gonna happen? Like, I'm gonna be sitting at the table and some Make America Great Again hat wearing motherfucker gonna be like, throw me a shrimp before I send you out the country or some shit, and I'm gonna say some wild shit and end up on fucking TV on YouTube because I had to cut somebody the fuck out.
So let me avoid this and go on over there on the regular side of the fucking restaurant.
Yeah, like if I went with a group of people I knew where it was like eight of us and we all sat at the same, that's different.
Right, and y'all filled the whole area up, right?
Yeah, but this idea of like six random Americans from the South that I would be like, can't wait to sit at their table. I don't think that that's gonna happen anymore. I think that's odds of that shit working out is very low.
Yeah, and I used to love those places, but like I said, as time went on and shit like that, you go, oh no, like you said, I don't want to be sitting at a table and I'm sitting here thinking, how many of y'all voted for Trump? So I'm right. Good.
They don't want me to sit there.
Come on,
you know.
But they gotta be nice and polite.
Right. I know everybody's been against it lately, and I understand the stuff that's happening with social media. Like every time I open up my email address to look at emails, I get a new alert that's like, hey, we've updated our privacy.
Everybody
sometimes, you know, like it just pops up in everything, stuff you never even thought about. It's like, you know, when you register for that warranty for your dishwasher, we've set up our privacy differently now and we don't want to be on Congress having to explain this shit. And I get it, you know, like they got to do that due diligence, and a lot of people were pissed off about that stuff, and rightfully so. I'm not even trying to argue with them, but now there's commercials between every fucking thing I do and see on TV, and it's just a bunch of fucking big ass companies apologizing. You know, it's, you didn't get on Facebook so that you could do this, this, and this. You know, like it's you got on Facebook and you found out your uncle had a band, and you found out that your grandmama used to sew, and you found out you reconnected with your high school friends,
But what you weren't ready for was white supremacy or whatever the fuck, right? Mm-hmm. And I keep seeing this commercial, and I swear it comes on every commercial break.
Yes, it does.
And if it's not that, then it's the Wells Fargo apologizing, or
y'all apologize.
At this point, I don't even know what people are apologizing for.
Oh, Wells Fargo for taking folks' money.
Yeah, okay, but so it's not just them apologizing. Facebook's apologizing for what? The privacy stuff?
Yes.
Uber's got an apology commercial now. Have y'all, like, the commercials at this point might as well just come on and be like,
first of all,
we don't want to lose your money.
I'll be honest with you, baby.
Hey, customers, we hear you now.
When I told you I never want to see you again.
Girl, we sorry.
We sorry.
Sorry about your data.
Just for tonight.
Maybe you could log into Facebook right now and DM a friend.
I know.
Like something. Share something. You know, leave a comment.
I know. No.
Please don't log out.
Yeah, I know. We don't want you to log out, baby.
Don't do me like this, y'all. Come on.
Stay here with us.
Baby, we need you.
I know. Wells Fargo, come on. Sorry I left you. Left you empty. I know we gave you all those fees.
I know.
know we were on the phone for hours calling us because we took your money tonight. You gonna be on the line tonight. You gonna cuss the customer service representative out. Honey, yeah, they want y'all back.
Well, they're begging so fucking hard.
They want y'all back.
Like, I just don't understand what I'm supposed to do on my side of it. And it's gotten so bad. Honestly, guys, I will give all my information back to Facebook if they just stop the commercials. Like, is that the point? Are they torturing us now with these commercials until we break and just be like, you know what, take this privacy information, it's fine, I don't need my mother's maiden name no more. If I get hacked, I just get hacked, okay? If the Russians got me, then the Russians just got me. I can't deal with this no more. Please, just, I want to watch the playoffs, okay? I didn't want to watch the playoffs.
I mean, it's like every single, like literally every single break, every single commercial break.
And even the voice of the Facebook dude sounds like the whiny type of nigga that would be apologizing for some bullshit. So, it's just not a fan.
I feel you on that. And like, all these weird updating niggas was updating their privacy. I only think they had to update their privacy. I mean, if you had an account with anybody, you got a privacy update. Literally hundreds of emails. I was like, what the fuck is this? Why am I can't get this?
Mm-hmm. All the apps when you log back into them.
I mean, Yahoo,
before you can
Google.
Look at your Instagram, you're gonna need to accept our privacy agreement.
I know. Tumblr was like, before you look at more of these asses, you be like, well, I'm here for the asses. I mean, right. Come on.
Like, the only privacy I got over here is don't tell nobody about my Tumblr page. That's it.
That's it.
But yeah, I'm tired of those commercials. Y'all can have my information. I think they should continue the Roseanne show, but just have Rosie O'Donnell replace her and don't mention anything.
Yeah, it probably would work.
Just don't say nothing. We were watching movies and they had a trailer for The First Purge. It's the Purge movie series, but it's like a prequel. And it's got a lot of black people in it.
A lot of black people.
And it had a cameo by a celebrity. Van Jones is in there playing a news person. Probably playing himself as Van Jones. I would be surprised if he wasn't.
Probably was.
And I couldn't help but feel that if this is the Purge reality, then Van Jones would be the main nigga in the White House taking pictures with the Purge administration. Telling us we need to love them white people. Like, hey, I know they said they could kill us one day out the year, but it's the Purge time, guys. I'm gonna need y'all to show them some love, because if we love each other, then maybe they won't kill us. Now I'm gonna go in my rich fancy house and lock all my security with the gun turrets outside, because I'm gonna be safe, okay? But yeah, with his latest antics and shit with the whole White House, I'm like, nigga, wouldn't you be on the side of the Purgers?
talking about I'm on both y'all side. And the other part of that too was like, every time I watch a Purge trailer, because I've only seen like one Purge movie, I think.
I've seen zero.
Mm-hmm. And every time I watch the trailer, I always think to myself, how come the Purge is always like people running around with guns and masks, and there's always a person or a couple people who are stranded because they didn't get back to the house on time because their car caught a flat or some stupid shit like that, and they didn't get to make it into their house before they could get to the security, so now they got to survive a night out amongst the Purge animals, and the Purge animals, you know, run around with swords and shit and gangs of people just, you know, shooting in the air and shit, and supposedly this causes no crime the rest of the year, right? But I'm always like, but wouldn't the Purge day be the perfect time for like Wachovia to come out and be like, guys, we gave high interest loans to only black people for the last year, that's, yeah, absolutely, we violated the law like a motherfucker, like this is billions of dollars of fraud that we have impugned upon the black community, but it's Purge day, so technically technically ain't no laws today, and we just wanted to come clean. See you next year. Okay,
I know selling man and be like, y'all know them interest y'all paying all y'all student loans.
Like, I don't know if they deal with sexual assault in the movies or not, because I literally am not that interested in seeing those movies. Mm-mm. But it feels like the crimes all kind of lead towards like some sort of like violence, like assault and all. I'm like, but what about motherfuckers that's just like, hey man, you know what I've been doing, dog? I have the FanCon money. I have it right here. I always had it. I was just bullshitting y'all. It's Purge day. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to take all y'all coins and go buy me something nice and park it in my secure garage because, it's Purge day, bitch. What you gonna do? Now everybody know and you can't do shit. Like that, it seemed like that would be more purgy. You know what I mean? I committed wire fraud, you know, I've been wiring money, laundering money for the last 2 years.
I mean, everything including murder,
right? Like, I just don't get how the fuck that's not part of the Purge too, man. It's always some, you know, anyway. So you got the Purge with Van Jones. What else did I write? Oh, instead of a diss song, Drake needs to release a long form essay on medium.com about his family history and why Pusha T is propagating toxic masculinity. I think that would be the next step, because it's not gonna happen right now, because Drake is I think Drake was told by Jay Prince, who's a real G in this game and somebody not to be trifled with, to not respond to the diss track from Pusha T, because supposedly it would end Kanye's career and it would do something bad to Pusha T's career or something like that. I don't know. It doesn't matter because of Jay Prince. Like, Drake is not going to not listen to Jay Prince, so clearly there's not going to be a diss coming back. And everybody's basically going to call him all kinds of names, say he lost the battle. But in the end of the day, I've always maintained that Drake will be able to easily salvage this by just putting out a hot album and leaving it at that. So assuming the album is hot, which is not really for me to judge because I'm not really a Drake fan. Correct. But if the right people think it's hot, none of this shit's gonna matter. But it's just kind of interesting because I would not respond if I was him at this point, more so because Pusha T is like that great aunt at the Spades table to know everybody business.
Come on.
You know, like you think, you like, oh, auntie, you can't, you playing like shit today. You can't even see the cards. And then she'd be like, well, how about you just come on out the closet? Cause I know your parents would really be interested to hear what you get into. It's like, what kind of trade of a secret is that?
I know, like, you ain't even on the internet. How you know all this shit?
Right. That's not a quip. You know what I mean? Like, that's like, calm down, you know? So I think, Drake should probably stop messing with Push, cause who knows whatever the fuck else he knows. And that's probably more important, but yeah, if you're gonna do something, now that you've already released that screenshot, you might as well go ahead and put out a essay, you know, go ahead, change the beef game, put out a book, you know, I will address this in a chapter of my book about the beef. Then the other part was that Drake at that black, that photo shoot where he released the screenshots for to explain why. Mm-hmm. I think he should have just said he was on Ambien. I mean, why not? That's Roseanne
trying,
did it.
To put that company out of business.
You know, I was on Ambien when I took this shoot. It was Memorial Day. I don't know what was happening. All right, last two. What if the gate to heaven is just people being shown a montage of every time that they ever told the cashier no when the cashier asked you to give a dollar to charity?
Oh Lord, then they're gonna be doing that for a while.
This is gonna be hours of you being like, no, no, no.
Good.
And then they send you to hell. They're like, see, you didn't even care about people. You didn't want to get to the Boy Scouts. We changed the charity up too. It's not always the same one.
It's not.
It's Children's Hospital. It's McDonald's. Ronald McDonald Foundation. Like, it's not always affiliated with Publix, whatever, but y'all niggas don't want to give a dollar. So guess what? Go to hell.
I hope it don't. Mm-hmm. Go like
that's what
that.
It's going to be. Mm-mm. Y'all need to start saying yes.
Mm-mm. I really hope not. I know that, what is our Harris Teeter card? I got it linked up to like a school.
Mm-mm.
So
that ain't the same.
Oh,
no, they just gonna show every time they said you like to give a dollar to the March of Dimes, and you said hell no, they gonna
I
be like
said, hell no.
Yeah, they gonna be like mm-hmm. Jesus is gonna be looking at y'all like Lee Trevino. And lastly, this is just something it's been on my heart, and I think a lot of people in the audience, it's not that they just don't know because they haven't experienced this, and you know, when you know better, you do better. And when you have more, you can treat yourself better. And, I just want to say, honestly, man, it's going to be a lot of y'all that we see live this year, September 20th. Don't forget Charlotte, North Carolina, Blumenthal Theater. And you know, a lot of y'all gonna come over. Y'all gonna want hugs, handshakes, pounds, pictures, all that stuff. And that's cool. But, don't touch me if you don't even, like, matter of fact, don't even talk to me if you're still using tap water for your post-coitus towels.
Oh Lord,
like some sort of Philistine, okay? Because your boy would never, okay? Like nothing but bottled water touches this junk, okay? It's come to my awareness that a lot of y'all just run a hot rag under the sink rather than have your butler go get the proper post-coitus towels that is only, you know, only the finest of waters, you know, Avion bottled water, something, you know, you have them set to boil while y'all do your thing. You know, you go in there, you just tell them like Jeeves, I will
Jeeves.
Be adjourning to the master bedroom for some hanky panky with the mistress of the house for the evening.
Hanky panky. What's this, 1920?
Run me some warm water for the post-sex towel. You know, you just have him give you the towel, and then of course you throw the towel out and burn it or something like that. You never want to use those again. But I've recently found out that everybody doesn't do this, and I don't know what's wrong with you poor people, but
oh Lord,
step your game up, okay?
Some people say they use wipes.
No, wipes, like some sort of Long Island prostitute, some sort of lady of the evening. We're not harlots in this house, guys, okay? We use the finest of cloths or nothing, okay? I would never let the same thing you wipe barbecue off your hands at a fucking barbecue joint, okay? You get some wing sauce on you, then maybe I'll use a moist towelette. But until then, when I'm having sex, I'm not touching my genitals with the same fucking moist towelette that you use to get that shrimp sauce off of you. No.
It's not the same towelette.
No. This is ridiculous. Okay? So no, wet wipes won't get it. All right? You wipe your baby's bottoms with that. Hey, wipe your own bottom with it. I don't care if you want to use the bathroom. But for me and mine, the finest waters. And the rest of you should be ashamed of yourselves, really. It's Neanderthals living in 2018. We have all this around us, all this stuff that's been provided for us, and y'all are still using water out of the goddamn tap. Bathroom water on your Johnsons. It's really shameful to know that. Anyway, let's get into the news.
What the hell wrong with you? Oh, can we talk about the place we went to go eat yesterday?
The Nappy, this show's all over the place. We went to a place called the Nappy Chef.
I say, when has it not been?
We went to this place called the Nappy Chef. It's in the hood. I guess it's the best way to put it. It's like the part they ain't gentrified in Charlotte yet.
Yeah, they haven't gentrified down that way yet.
But it's kind of newish, I think. I don't think it's been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. But we went there, and it's named Nappy Chef, and the chef name is Nappy.
Yeah, because the person was like, let me ask Nappy.
Yeah, like I knew it was going to be in the hood, and I knew it was going to be good because it was hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. So that's a big tale. When you like, where the fuck is this place? And the place that the MapQuest or whatever the fuck program is in my phone told me to park was in the back of this like parking lot that was full, and then they had a side parking lot that was all gravel and surrounded by woods. It's just like a place of niggas get robbed. I said, nah, I'm not doing this. Like I like it, and I said, and the first thing I thought was, how good must the food be for a motherfucker to park back here and risk life and limb to get some wings? Like, it made me more determined. Like, you would, like, normally stuff like that makes me be like, yeah, I'm gonna get the fuck out of here, I don't wanna get robbed. But I was like, if people willing to risk their life, that shit must be good.
Must be flames.
So we went around and parked in the front, and also all the front parking was like either like all the signs on all the parking was like, we will tow your shit. Okay, right. All the signs. Like, I didn't know where to park. I said, am I parking in the right place? It was like, if you park here, you are actually parking for the Firestone tire place next to it. So if you're not going to Firestone, we will tow your shit. It's like, more parking is in the back. I'm like, I'm not parking in them Jason ass Camp Summer Woods motherfuckers. Like, you're not gonna get me with that shit. So I said, you know what? I will risk being towed. It was Firestone a Sunday.
Firestone was closed.
Yeah, it was a Sunday. Firestone did not appear to be open.
Mm-mm.
And so I went in and I made sure to ask, you know, I was like, hey, are they gonna tow my shit if I park right there? And then she was like, let me ask Nappy.
Yeah,
she's like, Nappy, they gonna close. Then somebody else came and was like, nah, they not gonna tow it, and if they do tow it, they always come in and ask before they get ready to tow.
And that's
shit.
Probably because they be hooking Firestone up. Like, Firestone mm-hmm. is like, y'all,
they're not gonna
us.
Fuck up the wings.
Firestone like, y'all feed us, we'll keep out for y'all people. Now anybody else, we towing them.
And the sign on the front said, best wings in Charlotte.
It did.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a little rickety, you know. It was a little lived in, is what I would like to call the establishment. It was lived in.
And we should've...
It had what do you call that? Character. It had character, guys, mm-hmm. if you know what I'm saying.
And we should know it was gonna be lit. They are closed on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
And they open the rest of the week. They don't open up to 12 from 12 a.m. I mean, for 12 p.m.
Noon
mm-hmm. to 9 p.m. And then on Saturday and Sunday nights, they reopen from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Right. Because it's a strip club and a lounge up the street and all this shit. So, like, when I say it was hood, oh, nigga, it was hood. Like, but, like, you... One, like, okay, so we had just driven through town looking for something to eat earlier that same day, yeah. And I've never felt this way before, but I got kind of sad looking at how gentrified part of my town was becoming. Right. And I've seen people talk about it online. I've seen people like, you know, I'm from Chicago and they did this and the other, and I'm from New York and they did this and the other.
But seeing it firsthand was like, oh my gosh, this looks nothing like it used to.
I don't have the words to, like, I'm sure other people have written about this and spoken about this more eloquently, but the best words I have for it is it feels like a cultural steamroller.
Yes.
That's how it felt. Like, I like everything. Like, we drove by Price's Chicken Coop, which is like
the only thing standing.
It used to be like the hoodiest of hood chicken joints, and it still had a big ass line because, you know, it's Price's Chicken Coop. We've talked about it on the show before.
It's probably one of them landmark things. It's probably why they don't tear it down.
Well, they also make money. I mean, there's no way they're not making money in Price's Chicken Coop.
But y'all, literally, you got Price's Chicken Coop. You know what's beside it? The Korean barbecue joint. and like some other stuff. It's like it, and Price's Chicken Coop, y'all, they cash only. They just now got an ATM. They don't take debit or credit. They like the crack house cash.
Right. So me and Justin had a pretty good episode about it on the pregame about Price's Chicken Coop, and
it got to be two of y'all. It's a 2-man team.
And how it was basically the same design as a trap house, mm-hmm. like for chicken, man. Like
it really is.
It really, like, it's really some drug dealer shit. Like it's almost like throw the chicken out the window type shit, right? Anyway, so we have you know, we drove through and I was just like, Jesus, man, like what have they done to the city? Like it's nothing but just white people on fucking like these fucking, like they weren't bikes, they look like
motorized scooters.
They weren't scooters either. They look like Segways kinda.
Yes.
They were like on Segways and city bikes and everybody's wearing like khaki shorts and
I didn't know what the fuck was happening.
It was just like, what the fuck?
It was like white folks utopia.
What happened down here? You know, and I'm not like I'm not angry, I guess, at least not yet. I'm not angry about it. It's just kind of sad, like mm-hmm. damn, that's wild. Y'all rent. Have no idea what was here before.
None.
You know, it's just loft after loft building next to like fancy restaurant fusion of Japanese and Cajun or some shit, and and you know, it's just, I don't know, it's just weird. So then, you know, it was actually kind of refreshing to drive to the other side of town where you know, still kind of hood over there off of Albemarle Independence area. Not that they're not trying, and it'll get there soon.
Yeah,
but it was actually kind of dope to go over there and go to a black ass establishment, man. Like it felt home. Like
it did. That's what I left a Yelp review, and that's what I said it felt like home.
Like we walked in there, y'all, and like the first thing I heard coming out of out of the speakers or whatever was like One More Chance by Big, you
and,
know,
and the cussing and everything. It was like, we don't give a damn about your chaps.
Yeah, it was like you walk up in there and it's like, oh.
Yeah, we walked in there, I was like, oh.
Like they had the video playing on BET or something.
You had the kitchen rapping, like
right. Not just the kitchen. I was rapping. Karen was rapping.
Cashiers.
Everybody was in there, like lyrically. Like everybody. Yes. Like I was like, okay. And it wasn't even like a big crowded spot. I almost hesitate to tell niggas about it because I hope they don't fuck it up and then white people be in there. But it was so fucking laid back, like. The chat, like, and it wasn't just Biggie, like, they play Usher, they play actually, they played Biggie twice. but they played a bunch of stuff, musically, and then they had the menu, which is like a pretty simple menu, but they had like these pictures of all the food you could get, which I think they must serve different stuff at different times. Cause I seen pictures up there, I was like, this shit ain't on the menu and I wants it. But, look, so they had these different things, and so they had hot wings. They said best wings in Charlotte. I said, I gotta get some wings. I mean, you said they the best in Charlotte. Now, who am I not to test that?
Who is me?
Okay, I feel like I'm a wing connoisseur. Dog, they had the flavor that I got was Henny Honey Hot or something like that. So you take the Hennessy and the honey and it's hot, nigga, of course that's what I ordered. What else could I order? Karen looking at this, oh, what about this one? I was like, I don't know what you're gonna waste your taste buds on, okay, but I'm going with the Hennessy and the hot wings. I mean, come on, how could you not? So I got that. Karen, what'd you get? The tacos?
Yes, them tacos was delicious.
And then we got some jerk mac and cheese. Never had jerk mac and cheese before in my life.
That shit was flames.
But I called my mama and said, listen, okay, my mom listened to this podcast. I was slapped. Okay. That's how good it was. I would slap my mama for them jerk mac and cheese. It was so fucking delicious. By the way, I also knew it was hood because like you order it, you get your drink, you know, you go get, fill your own drink, you,
you wait for them to call your number and get your food. Oh, y'all, why everything came in to-go containers?
Mm-hmm. They was like, because we know most people are gonna get that shit and go on back home.
Like everything. I'm talking about the mac and cheese was to go, the rings was to, everything was wrapped up like to take home. So I guess the average person was call they order in, come in, pick it up, or yeah. order, stand mm-hmm. around, pick it up, take it home.
Right. Most people don't sit in.
That's how hood it was. It was so hood. There was a magazine that we found. I left it on the counter in there. I think it's called like Huami or something. I don't know if y'all had these magazines in your hometown. Nigga, this magazine was so black. It was like a free Charlotte magazine. It was like Huami Charlotte or whatever. And on the front, it was like Boss Lady. Lady Boss, networking and organizing. It was all black women in our local area. And they all had a page profile on each of them. It just felt so black. Look at these names on the front. Jiteek Designs. Tamika Chisholm. Barrington Riddick. Don't that sound like a Jamaican old man? First page ad. The first page ad. You see this shit right here, y'all? Can y'all see this? Can they see it, Karen?
Yeah.
The first page ad got a place called Sunset Soul Food and Seafood. Nigga, is that chitlins?
It is.
Is that greens?
Chitlins, greens, candy yams.
Come on, man.
Got catfish and croaker on it.
Like, I done found me a new place to take out. Get some takeout from.
Come on.
I didn't even know about this place. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I always make this joke with Karen whenever we go out, it's from a Key and Peele skit, but she'll be like, you hungry, what you want to eat? And I'll be like, oh, I want me some hog mouths. I want me some chitlins. I want, you know, it's a joke, for people that have seen Key and Peele. They have a really funny sketch where, both of them are trying, they play two businessmen, black businessmen who go to a soul food restaurant and they're trying to prove how down each one of them is. Like, nah, I'm from the hood. And by the end, it's some ridiculous shit. Like, give me, okay, you know what? I want you to give me, some donkey teeth, a whole big old mess of greens in an old rusted tomato can, give me a nail, give me a shoe with a nail in it, boil that, put some hot sauce, and, serve it all to me on, hubcap, you know, stuff like that. So like, I make that joke with Karen, but like, look at this. I do taxes. Don't she look like she do some taxes? That she won't have your chip, have your fucking, have you claiming your nephew and motherfucking saving you some money.
Come on.
They had a barbershop ad in here. I've never seen, as black as this city is, I don't think I've ever seen a barbershop ad before.
Me either.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like, look at this. Look at this barbershop ad. Like, this shit looks so professional. This is some niggas looking like a fucking rap group, but smiling.
With caps.
Fades, tapers, razor lines, hot towel shaves. Come on down to the Cutting Company NC. Open daily except Tuesdays. So there you go. And like, it was just so,
And the women they had on there, on the front, each one of them had like their own picture and their own description. And they were actually showing like the full length of the women too. Like, we was like, we showing everything. They is black, y'all.
This woman's a fitness person. Like, she does, and listen to the name of the company. Please Believe Fitness.
Please Believe.
Please Believe Me. Please Believe Fitness. They had a radio personality, L. Michelle, Coach E. She was like a relationship coach and life coach. And, but this was just in there as like, look at this sister in the yellow. Go on, girl. Like,
come on.
It was just like everybody in there just serving looks being black as fuck. Like, it was just so, it was so cool to see, man. And it was in this black ass restaurant. So it's like, we had such a good time. Listening to music, and I thought, you know, everything was in the go box, so I was like, oh, we'll take some of this with us. Man, listen, we ate all that shit.
It was delicious.
That jerk mac and cheese, gone.
I had some shrimp tacos with a sad salad. That shit was flames.
Gone. Them wings didn't last not too long. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh no, this is and like, they just give you a little bit of ranch, and I said, you know what, it don't even need no ranch though.
It didn't.
I mean, I put it on there because I'm black, but it didn't need it. Them rings is good.
And you know what? When you asked, you was like, "Come on, she said, of course."
Right.
She was like, "I hope you don't think we give you no blue cheese."
She was like, "You know, niggas only fuck with ranch." I said, "I didn't mean
don't do blue cheese."
I didn't mean to insult you, madam. Okay.
But yeah, we had a great time, man, and it kind of took me back to Fayetteville State days. Mm-hmm. When you know you go,
yeah, I was in college, we'd have lived there.
You go up the street to the Merc and get you because like it didn't cost that much either. Mm-mm. And we made sure to get like a lot of shit, and it still probably was like $25-$30 at the most for the mac and cheese, two meals, two drinks, or whatever. So it was, man, look, that place was good though. It was amazing. So I'll definitely be going back, not at night, for sure, but you know, maybe
we're not gonna be out there with the clubbers.
I may call in a to-go order for chance, or try to attend on a Sunday afternoon, something like that. But it definitely made me feel like, you know, Fayetteville State, like right off the campus type black restaurants that used to be up the street where it was just cheap and delicious food. Mm-hmm. But not, didn't taste cheap, but you know, mm-hmm. it didn't break your wallet either.
I was like, these niggas is cooking.
Yes, and everybody was in there jamming and all kinds of, everybody was in there looking good. Like it was like, look at all this shit, this is amazing.
Yeah,
people talking, coming from
having,
church,
right, having just casual conversation. You could tell some people are like regulars and they just recently opened up, but you know, a lot of people heard about them and it kind of word spread, and so it's one of them things where yes, some people on the outside, some people on the inside. It was really relaxed.
Yeah, it definitely felt like home, man, and worth going if you're in the area. But you know, I don't know what your, you know, if you're gonna go in there feeling all judgy and looking down on people, you know, you got a problem with a sticky table or two, then you know, maybe stay your bougie ass on. But
come on,
if you know like I know, then go your ass in there and have a good time, because it was so fun, man.
I couldn't pass up a name like Nappy.
That's the only reason I went, because Karen said, how'd you find this place? I was like, I was on Yelp, I saw an ad for Nappy, it was like the Nappy Chef, and I said, I don't give a fuck if it's in Omaha, I gotta drive here right now. So we drove across town and went in there, and yeah, worth every fucking dollar. So great time. It was worth it just for the music and the vibes alone,
right?
And the staff was nice and shit, and like I said, they was playing all the hits from my, you know, my youth, and we was all jamming in there. So and that's when you use wet wipes, guys, okay? That's when you, not on your junk, okay? Not after you're trying to just finish having sex. That, you use wet wipes when you go to Nappy's, and you gotta get that chicken juice off of your hands, that Hennessy, okay? You suck the bones right off your hands, and you leave that Hennessy on there. So then I drove home drunk, cause it was Henny Wings, y'all. I couldn't help myself.
No, Lord.
Henny Wings. It was so good.
Oh, they were delicious.
Drake addressed that blackface controversy. I don't think we got to talk about it on the show yet. Mm-mm. But he released a statement.
His PR person write it?
Oh man, he don't come from this, and I'm not even mad at him, man. Me, like, you got to get out of this as fast as you can, because he didn't see all this coming. And honestly, he can't. He got way more to lose than Pusha T by fighting dirty. So even if he knew some foul shit, it'll be like when Jay-Z went in Nas and then he went too far with that, I left a condom on your baby seat, and everybody was like, okay, now see, goddamn, you going too far. And that's cause Jay was the overdog, quote unquote, and Nas is kind of the underdog in that situation. I think similar to this, like, if Drake were to find some dirt on this nigga and go Black Twitter CSI on him, I don't know that people would actually ride with Drake. So anyway, he tried to explain this shit, which should have been signed number one. We wouldn't get no damn song,
right?
The statement was so funny because he said, I know everybody's enjoying the circus. And I'm like, nigga, the circus you started? What? Oh man. Like, that's what J.R. Smith should have said after that game one when he fucked up the finals for LeBron. I know everybody's enjoying the circus, but
it's your fault.
The circus of you fucking up the game.
Right.
He's playing at the pictures from 2007, the time of my life when I was an actor. I was working on a project that was about young black actors struggling to get roles, being stereotyped and typecast. Photos represent how African Americans were once wrongfully portrayed in entertainment. Me and my best friend at the time, Mazin Elsadig,
who is an actor from Sudan, we're attempting to use our voice to bring awareness to the issues we dealt with all the time as black actors at auditions. This was to highlight and raise our frustrations with not always getting a fair chance in the industry, and to make a point that the struggle for black actors had not changed much. Here's the thing. I believe him. I think I told y'all this the last time we talked about this. Is the explanation for this picture was probably something along those lines. I absolutely do believe that's what this project was for, because it's not just his picture. But the thing is, he had these pictures kind of scrubbed off the internet since then. So I don't think that he wanted to address these. The other thing is, I feel like Drake, he took these pictures in, I think, 2007, I think he said. So it's 2 years after the Minstrel Show came out, which I think he was heavily influenced by, possibly. But more important than that, he's taken all of the racial awareness, social commentary out of his lyrics since he debuted as a rapper, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that had to be a conscientious choice.
Correct.
He's done interviews where he talks about not really dealing with racism and how Canada is different, and he didn't grow up learning, you know, all this shit. And
it's racism there too, but
yeah, it's racism in Canada too, but this is what he said. Okay, so who am I to tell him his experience is different than what he says it is? He says he didn't experience all that racism coming up. Okay, cool. Here's the thing. You used to notice it. What changed? I mean, you did have a pretty long career. This, like, once you do blackface, which is like the ultimate statement, especially when you're not joking, it's not a comedy thing, it's the ultimate statement about how you feel as an artist when you say, y'all look at me and y'all see a minstrel and that's not right. I'm not your minstrel is essentially what that photo was alleged to be saying, which, like I said, I take him at his word and I believe him. Well, then you telling me during the rise of Trump, during Black Lives Matter, during Kaepernick taking a knee, like all these huge societal moments of consequence, you've elected in your art to just completely ignore, you know? And I'm not talking about like one or two lines from one song over the course of fucking 500 songs he's done. I'm just saying he's made a conscientious choice, and I don't want to hear about sales either, because Beyonce sells, Kendrick sells, J. Cole sells. Like, I ain't saying it's your obligation as an artist to talk about this shit, but you can't use that excuse as people that talk about this shit don't make money and don't get awards. That's a goddamn lie.
Right.
So it's not that. You made a conscientious choice to say you just don't see these things. You know, and that is a bit telling. You know, his fans were like, well, they were in my mentions. His fans are Bernie Sanders fans, same people. They was like, well, he's Canadian. And I said, okay, well, he not too Canadian not to say nigga.
Come on.
Fuck out my face. You can't take part of the culture and be like, but I don't understand the rest of this shit. Like, nah, dog, you do understand. And he has, from the lines I've seen of him talking about race in his music, he has a clear stereotypical biracial hang up that a lot of biracial people have, where they focus more on black people than white people, with their whole like, it's basically two sides of this, and it's both of y'all. It's white people do this shit, but y'all really the wrong ones. Black people the ones that make me feel uncomfortable. And he basically said, like, I don't speak on race because black people won't feel comfortable with me speaking on race. Man, if you don't get the fuck. Colin Kaepernick, biracial as fuck. What you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I almost said something shady as fuck. But just, there are people who are biracial at best, quote unquote. Let's just go, if you take their word for it, they go out and are activists for black people. And a lot of niggas still fuck with them. Like, if you are out here talking about this shit and addressing it, you're not gonna get kicked out of the community. That's so backwards and ridiculous.
You're not gonna get kicked out.
It works the opposite of that. to the sometimes to our detriment when we protect people that actually ain't worth shit, but we just go, well, I mean, yeah, they got some issues about them, but you know, they do be speaking up for us. You know, a lot of why people feel the way about Kanye is because of that.
Correct.
I don't expect black people to really admit it, but a lot of people's feelings is hurt.
Right.
So yeah, that I found this explanation to just be really telling, because what you've essentially told me is either after you got on or after you thought it wasn't such the end thing to do, or you thought it would make waves, you basically stopped.
Correct.
And that's kind of sad, you know, because like Pusha T's response was like, nah, I don't believe you, nigga, you don't talk about race shit now, you know, which Pusha T's being petty and he's battling, so he's saying whatever he needs to say. But I think the likely story is what Drake said. At one point in time, he gave a fuck about this shit and then he just stopped, and then he threw a couple lines in his fucking in his songs over the past few years, but it's literally just barely a mention of anything involving race, and a lot of that is black people don't want me to talk about this stuff. So but it's cool, go back to being just a rapper, man. I mean, he pretty much pulled your card on that, and you really don't want to hear what he got to say about anything else, and you know, we'll see what else. What else happened? Karen, you were right. You said I hate to do this to you, Karen. This is my bad, but it looks like you were wrong.
About what?
Well, you said they called Roseanne and begged her to apologize. According to Roseanne, she called ABC and begged them not to dump the show and said she would get Valerie Jarrett's number and apologize to her, and they said no. She deleted the tweets already, so I mean, you know, if she telling the truth.
That's what I'm saying. I don't believe you, because you was one of their highest rated shows fiscally. It makes no fucking sense. They had sat down and talked to you probably several times and you was like, fuck you, bitch. They was like, oh, okay.
By the way, you know the people she begged? Not the black woman that runs ABC. Not the president, but the white people at ABC
who didn't have the power to take her show off the air.
Maybe they did, I don't know, but it sounded like she was trying to avoid talking to a certain person. I mean, but that's just me, you know, that's just what I noticed, but it sounded like she was trying to,
yeah, probably because she didn't talk to her direct. She probably had her representative talk to her. She was like, hey, you need to tell your client that her show is canceled.
Yeah, since deleted tweets Thursday, she said she begged the network not to can the show. I begged Ben Sherwood at ABC to let me apologize and make amends. I begged them not to cancel the show. I told them I was willing to do anything and ask for help in making things right. I'd worked doing publicity for them for free for weeks, traveling through bronchitis. I begged for people's jobs.
Growing up, I didn't have anyone who looked like me. That's why I started my blog, to inspire people to be themselves.
No. I'm sorry. I love that woman, though. That's my favorite ad right now on TV. But no, baby, you can't do that in the middle of our show. Barr added that she told Sherwood that she thought former Obama aide Valerie Jarrett was white. He scoffed and said, what you have done is egregious and unforgivable. She said, now, what would the joke be that the white woman looks like Planet of the Apes and a Muslim? Y'all tell me what the joke is there. Because maybe I don't understand comedy.
I don't believe you. I do not believe you. I don't believe any words that are coming out of her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
They talked to her. And she kept pushing, called they bluff. And they was like, oh, okay, we'll take the motherfucking show off the air. Because I guarantee you, when she first talked to them, she was like, what y'all ain't gonna do? Mm-hmm. Y'all know who I am. I'm Roseanne. All right. Okay, we understand that, but there's a line you can't cross, dog. This ain't how it used to be. And you know, she just thought she was above reproach, and they was like, oh, we're gonna reproach and approach and everything else, choke you and get your ass off the air.
I like your Roseanne impression. That's pretty good. So then I do have audio of the apology, though.
I don't to make my mama proud. You guys are not doing anything with your life. You may not see it, but I'm trying to accomplish something. And you guys are preventing me from that. All y'all haters, like, I'm trying to accomplish my dreams. If you don't like me, just block me. I didn't do anything to you.
She basically tried to blame it on everybody not being willing to forgive her.
Yeah, because you don't want to be accountable for her actions.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. They keep trying to come up with another way to keep the shit going, but yeah, I would not even give a fuck about this shit.
I don't believe you.
I wouldn't watch it if they kept it going without her or not. Yeah. Like, I was out from the fact that they even glommed onto her and all the people attached to that project. I can't imagine what the fuck you were thinking beyond your wallets. You can't possibly say there was any more reasoning to do this show other than I was gonna get paid. Let's see what else happened. Oh, Kanye's 7 songs on his album Ye, mm-hmm, are occupying the top 7 spots on Spotify and Apple Music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because nobody gets canceled.
Yeah, the sales figures haven't been available yet. I don't know how people still buy music and shit, I guess digitally.
Mm-hmm.
But streaming wise, this shit is at the top, which is one of the, you know, I'm not surprised at all.
Mm-mm.
You know, now I do think the people in my circles, especially Black people, have been honest. I have no reason to think they're lying, but
yeah, a lot of them are like, I'm done, which is fine. But like I said, outside of that, there's a lot of people that don't give a fuck that goes Kanye and I'm here.
Yeah, and also, like, I've learned a lot that in the last year or so, I've just learned how small the circle of people that surround us and I'm surrounded by on social media are. Like, there's a lot of sentiment within the people I know that doesn't really cross over into the real world as far as being the prevailing sentiment. It's not that, no, I wish it did, but it doesn't. You know, like, I wish it was a world where we could be like, yo, this thing happened, this trans person is fucked up, and I was looking at the news and it was on the news that night, and I was, you know, and you know, I turn on MSNBC or CNN and they're talking about it. But that's actually not how it works. It's very much like this shit stays mostly on Twitter until something amazing happens or somebody starts to give a fuck outside, who has a reach outside of Twitter. But the, you know, so I saw a lot of, and this is different than before, like, this isn't like Yeezus where people were mad that the album was whack because they went and listened to the album to say it's whack. Motherfuckers are just mad at him, like, he's persona non grata. Like, you say his name, you play his music, and motherfuckers start turning their face up. And I bet my bet is if I turned up his old music before he was Make America Great Again, people would still feel that same way.
Of course.
So I think he's kind of hurt a lot of people beyond some music. This is different. This is about him.
Right.
You know, and I still feel how I feel about all his comments. I know some people, you know, feel like he's dangerous because of his slavery comments and his Make America Great Again shit, and you know, it's their right to feel that way, but I feel the same way about him as I feel about Stacey Dash and Herman Cain and Michael Steele and Angry Hootie. I feel the same way about them, kind of, where it's like they will always exist and be propped up. Some Black person saying fucked up shit about Black people will always be propped up. But that's more a function of whiteness propping them up. It's not really like there aren't, in my opinion, there's not a lot of white people of value who go, I was not racist, but then Kanye West put out an album and now I'm gonna be racist.
Right.
That's just my personal opinion. I really don't want to debate it with people, and it'll be anecdotal at best. You can find a couple people that will go, now I changed my mind, but I don't think Black people, for the most part, are listening to this album and changing their opinion and going, now I support Trump. I think pop culture moments like this, while they're significant, sometimes, especially with social media and the impulse of the moment, we sometimes overstate how impactful the things are. And I just feel like this is more sad to watch a dude kind of disintegrate his brand and himself like this, but not sad like I know this nigga, just sad like on some, damn, you hurt a lot of people that I know that were fans of you over some stupid shit, you know? So, but all that to say, I'm not surprised he got the top album sales, or no, top streams. Like, I'm not surprised at all. And I listened to the album, man. I don't think I hate it as much as everybody else hates it. I really do like some of it. But at the same time, like, I don't think it's his best work. But I've seen people dismiss it without even listening, which I would say is like, that's about feeling that dude, that's about anger towards that dude.
Right.
That's not about the music.
Right.
Which, by the way, valid anger. This is not me saying, this isn't me being like, y'all niggas mad. No, I'm saying he made us mad collectively, and a lot of people are fucking through with him, and a lot of people were barely tolerating him for a while. And a lot of people were even doing it in the first place because white people were talking about he can't call himself a genius, or he said this shit about Katrina, or he took the thing from Taylor Swift, and people supported him through all those antics. And there's a backlash that partially is because of the support that people gave him for those antics, when white people were like, y'all, this dude is not right. And black people was like, you just say this about black people. And he was able to kind of hide behind that, and then for him to turn around and reject your protection of him and be like, actually, you black people are all fucking sheep, and now I'm over here with these white people, and they're the ones that got it figured out. And that hurt people on a psychological level that I don't think people are ready to admit they're hurt by. Like, it says a lot about our society that the phrase "who hurt you" can be used as a weapon or dismiss somebody, but who hurt you is really the most important question in the existence of mankind.
Come on, because at the end of the day, if a lot of people actually sit down and actually evaluate their lives and actually go, who hurt you, and actually deal with whoever hurt you, be it shutting doors, be it cutting off, be it, you know, whatever you got to do, going to counseling, therapist, getting on medication, whatever it is to fix the root of who hurt you, your whole life would change.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of black people, without saying it, are basically like, nigga, we caped for you, tolerated you, and exalted you for you to turn around and basically say, fuck your black love. You know, that's what because there's no other way to say the things he said about slavery, the things he said about black on black crime, and even the things that have extended to Obama, the embracing of Trump. It's impossible to say those things without saying, I'm also rejecting black people. You can turn around and say, it's because I love everybody, but that's not the message that I'm going to receive. I'm going to receive, because I live in a world where I'm viewing these things, the message I'm receiving is, fuck you, this white love is so much better than your love. You know? And, like, I think so people call it dangerous because of that, but here's the problem. He ain't the first or the last.
Mm-mm.
Like, this is some OJ shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not hurt by this nigga's heel turn in that way. I don't feel like, I mean, put it, I'm not a good example. I rarely get hurt by anything dealing with celebrities. But in general, the part of it that is dangerous to me isn't that. And I think there's another part that actually is dangerous, but I don't think we can talk about it here on our show because we have nuance, but I can't really approach it on social media because black people are so mad at the betrayal racially that they don't even want to talk about anything else. But listening to that album, I worry about his health. I worry about his concern. Like, I'm concerned about his, I'm not on my meds. Mania is my superpower. Cause if you guys listen to like mental health podcasts, you kind of have some friends that deal with these issues, the things they will tell you is like, yo, mania feels like that. Being off your meds, like, you know how we always go like, why the fuck would you ever get off your meds? Cause meds have side effects. Shit, some of the side effects is like, you might want to kill yourself.
Correct.
And how do you realize this until it's sometimes too late? You know, till you get the wake up call to check yourself in if you can. We know this dude has been in the hospital for what he called pill addiction, but then he came out and said, I'm off of all my meds. Well, nigga, all of them ain't opioids. You know? So
the thing, you know, and I think especially within our community, there's a lot of people dealing with mental illness, and there's a stigma around mental illness.
Yes, it is.
And I understand that there's like responsibility within it. Like, you don't get to like threaten a woman online because I was off my meds and I'm supposed to just be like, well, hey, shit happens. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is there's a danger to me in yay doing this shit, talking about being anti-med basically, and the mental health of other black people who hear us demonize, stigmatize mental health in general. Or even worse, maybe they gonna get inspired or triggered by this idea of being off of their meds and shit. You know, that's some serious shit, and that's dangerous to me.
Yes, it is.
Cause there are people that feel like that shit is a superpower. Like, I got off my meds, I was creating shit, I was doing this. But if you talk to bipolar people, and if you talk to people that are manic depressive, they will tell you as high as the high is, that's how low the low is. So this high of, I made this album that's got fucking, you know, all this shit, and black people suffer from these things as well. Like, yeah, it's not just some white people shit.
Mm-mm.
Now, he even says in this interview that he has privilege to be able to be surrounded by all this money and art, to be like, I can have these mental health issues and call it my superpower and shit, and he's got a safety net of money and shit that a lot of niggas can barely even afford. They meds, some people have to taper off their meds because they can't afford it. In Bush's America, Trump's America, you know, even with Obamacare and all that shit, like that, like these fucking pharmacy companies are fucking wild with this shit. So I don't know. I think there's a concern there that is more about admonishing Kanye's coonery than it is about the idea of a person telling you, I'm not managing my mental health and my mental illness anymore, and us going, well, mental health, that's just some bullshit that y'all, be careful with that. Cause I've seen people go off cause we, and I have empathy for us cause I know we are going off because we're hurt. Like, this shit hurts when you're like, really, nigga? Mr. Racism still alive, they just be concealing it. Mr. You know, when he get on, he give your ass for a white girl, and he literally got on and left her ass for a white girl. Like, literally, like, you, dude, really? But beyond the hurt, like, take a step back and be careful that what you're saying about just does, because the stray bullets are gonna catch people that you don't think you catching. Like, you're ranting, but there's also people listening to this shit like, yo, I struggle with this.
Yeah, you know, you might not know it.
My biggest fear is this. Like, one of the headlines I saw today was like, Kanye says mental illness caused him to say slavery was a choice for blacks. So people, of course, went in on that, rightfully. Like, what the fuck? No. Mental illness does not make you say some stupid shit like that. That's not about mental illness. Okay, cool. Maybe it doesn't. I feel you. Did you read the article? Because the article doesn't say that. The headline says that. That's not what the quote from the interview was. The quote from the interview is, I'm so blessed and so privileged because think about people that I have mental issues that are not Kanye, that have mental issues that are not Kanye West. That can't go and make that album and make you feel like it's all good. Now keep in mind, this is his thinking, is his album so good, it's selling well, whatever, that somehow, hey, I got mental health issues, but it's cool because I made this good, this dope album. To which I don't think people agree with that. And also people are so turned off by his comments, they not listening to the album anyway. I mean, a lot of people, obviously a lot of people are listening because they're trended. Thinking about someone who does exactly what I did at TMZ, and they just do that at work. On Tuesday morning, they come in, they just lost their job, and they can't go back and do that. That's why God put on me at 40. I've never been diagnosed, and I was like 39 years old. It's not a disability, it's a superpower. So at no point in that did he say, that's why mental illness made me say slavery was a choice. He also said, we just sat there really honed in on the words. Also, we know now it's all headlines. Every bar can be used. I took a bar off the album. It was just too sensitive about that topic and stuff. So what he was saying was, because of his mania and shit, he went to TMZ to tell the world that shit. That's the, mental illness made me do blah blah blah. Nigga, I believe that part, that mania might make you feel like I can go convince the fucking world that my shit is free thinking and y'all just need to be put up on this. And but like I said, you would have to talk to people that have been manic. You'd have to talk to people like some of these stories. Listen to this podcast, Mental Illness Happy Hour. I got put onto a lot of this because I listened to Keith and the girl, and they would bring on people that dealt with this before I knew anything about any mental health conditions. And they would bring on people that would and be like, well, so what was it like when you had a manic episode? And they had people like one dude was talking about trying to steal a hotel room, thinking he was a spy. And like he was on his meds now and he's a comedian. He was open to talk about it. And he was like being, it was funny, quote unquote, but nigga, it wasn't, it was dangerous. You know, it's like, I fought the cops, I did this, but I don't think people can see past their anger right now to be like, oh, so this is kind of what mania looks like on a big stage and how people respond to it. But it ain't just people like Kanye that's surrounded by shit. We are the same people that be like, when a police gets called on a black person having a mental health episode, why do they just shoot them? You know what I'm saying? Like, we the same people that feel like we don't have the nuance and we don't give the credit and the space to the idea of empathy towards people that's experiencing something. And it's easy to advocate for a dude like this because he got everything, he got money, he got all that shit. But and it's also easy to dismiss him because of that. But I mean, just be careful the strays you throwing, because us, a lot of motherfuckers that are struggling with this kind of shit, and we're just sitting here being like, well then if that's your issue, I don't want to hear that shit, you know. So be careful, man. That's all I gotta say.
And a lot of people talking, and truth be told, they really might actually need help too, and they might be mentally off and they just don't know it or don't recognize the signs or the symptoms of it.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I really do think about that dude's mental health and his safety, because that's some wild shit. Let me go to the next session real quick and we'll wrap up, because we're gonna get cut off. Give me a second, guys. But yeah, you know, I think it's just easy to, especially those that don't, of us that don't really deal with it, and maybe even some of us that do, that feel like it's my worst nightmare to be out of control like that. So I'm gonna basically, you know, speak out harshly against it the most. But you know, there has to be at least some level of nuance to the discussion, because in that group think to join in and like admonish him, there's a lot of humanity being lost in the whole thing. But anyway, what else happened?
And while you're talking about mental illness and things like that, like I know for me growing up, particularly with my mama being mentally ill, I know for me it was a struggle for me, just a fear and just being frightened that I'm going to grow up, quote unquote, I'm just saying, right, come from a child's perspective. So when I say this is from a going to be crazy like my mama, you know, because a lot of my family would just consider her crazy and just dismiss her and everything that she does and stuff like that. And so that was my, you know, biggest fear. So you don't never know who has family members or their mom and their dad, and their fear is this thing, and you know, they don't want things to be triggered, quote unquote, within them to cause them to go down different paths. And the thing is, when it comes to mental health and mental illness, more people, actually more black people in particular, should probably are diagnosed on the spectrum of these things.
Would be diagnosed
or on the spectrum of these things, if a lot of them would go to the doctor or had insurance for the doctor or could afford the medication, right,
or didn't have two jobs, or right, you know what I'm saying, or didn't have a stigma in our community, or weren't told to pray it away, or you know what, or you know, like I said, I'm not trying to admonish our community because I love us, but
right,
I just think people should be thoughtful about the critiques. Just have a second of, do you really mean this? Does this apply to every situation? How are you parsing these things? Because a lot of this shit is coming across like motherfuckers are putting him up to be burned in effigy because we're so upset, which is fine. You don't have to like this motherfucker. But part of it is our own self-examination at the hurt that we have that we don't want to do.
Correct.
Like, why are you so hurt? You know, why does it hurt so much? And I said, you know, I brought this up on my Facebook page. I was like, yo, it's a betrayal in his stuff that is different than the other people.
Right.
they used to fucking show Herman Cain in the fucking Black History class. Oh, not Herman Cain, fucking Ben Carson in the Black History class. Right. But there was no betrayal, and we only knew him from his accomplishment. They got taught a Black History class. This is something different, you know. So I understand the hurt, man, and I don't want to belittle the hurt, but you know. And then also, you know, the fact that this shit is the numbers 1 through 7 on the charts, ain't no such thing as a boycott anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, boycott has become a word that has become ultimately meaningless. Because boycotts require organization, unity, leadership, and a conditional terms. Like, I'm not saying nobody's ever pulled off a successful boycott in the last however many years, but since the advent of social media, the word boycott is used way more than the action of boycotting.
Correct.
People say stuff like, I'm boycotting the NFL. No, nigga, you just not watching.
Yeah, that's completely different.
I'm boycotting this album. No, you're not listening to this album. It's not the same as what a boycott where you're going, hey, we're no longer gonna have Kanye on Spotify. So what we're gonna do, everybody's gonna cancel their Spotify subscription until they take Kanye off, and we'll be able to calculate the money. And that was what a boycott used to be. And you have to stand firm on it. Nobody has Spotify. Eventually Spotify goes, whoa, we lost too much money. It's not worth it. Just take him off. And then once they take him off, this is the part of boycott people don't talk about anymore in social media age. You gotta go back.
It requires action.
Patronage. Because if there's only consequence, then you're not really boycotting. Then I just lost a customer. That's it. Like, oh, these niggas don't go shop at Woolworths no more. But I was reading why can't I remember the name of the book? Anyway, I'm reading a book where they brought that up, and the activist that it was a Black woman activist, and they boycotted these places in DC, and she was like, yeah, but if we don't go back, then it wasn't a boycott. I can't call it a successful boycott. So she had this, first she went to the neighborhood basically saying, don't go here. Black people, we're not going here. So then they set the conditions. The company relented. They said, we'll do what you guys want. Please come back. And then she had to go around the neighborhood the second time and be like, hey, we're going back, guys. So now if you used to go to, Safe Mart across the street, now you go back to Woolworths. Okay. We have to have it has to be a financial organization, but Black unity especially is such a myth at this point.
Yes, it is.
That I think people use the word boycott and it just holds no meaning anymore. Because it just holds the work behind it is not normally there. And it makes us feel powerful on social media to declare something like that, but it ain't real. So, yeah, so when I saw people talking about they were gonna boycott his album, I mean, you say that, but then the shit's trending. And the shit's top 7. That's not it, you know? And like I said, I understand being mad and wanting to make a statement, but.
Oh, yeah.
The boycott was completely over exaggerated if you look at these numbers. All right, so I think that's all I gotta say about that, nigga. Let's we've talked for a while already. let's go ahead and do sword ratchetness and get out of here. We'll do more fun and games tomorrow.
Okay.
I know this wasn't a very fun show, but it was a very honest, open show. We had some time off, so sword ratchetness time. You know, I just also thought about when we went to the Nappy Chef. I also knew it was hood because a fucking wet floor sign was just in the middle of the damn floor. Nothing was even wet over there. It was just sitting over there. Like, I don't know, the roof leak in that area. I don't know. It was just like, it's always wet over here, nigga. Don't come.
Don't stay away from over here.
Yeah, it's like, I love that place. I want to go back. Jefferson City man arrested for threatening people with ninja sword.
What?
A Jefferson City man has been charged with threatening several people Wednesday while brandishing a ninja style sword. Christopher Wright, 34, is charged with unlawful use of a weapon and resisting arrest. Wright was engaged in a prolonged, loud verbal argument with several people in the 1000 block of Madison Street, according to Jefferson City Police Department probable cause statement. During the argument, Wright allegedly unsheathed the sword and began to walk towards several individuals, swinging the sword in ninja style moves. Ninja style. When officers arrived, they gave numerous.
What did he say?
Right. He flashed up out of there.
Yeah, he did.
he was calling out, he was like disappearing in the shadows and shit. When officers arrived, they gave numerous commands to Wright for him to drop the sword, but he failed to do so. He eventually was tasered and taken into custody. I wonder what his race was. Court records show Wright has a long history of violent behavior, including arrest for assault, resisting arrest, armed criminal action, and first degree robbery.
I'm going white.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Like I said, tomorrow's show will be more funnier and stuff. We'll get into some of these silly stories. I just want to say on behalf of the black community, it feels good that we all forgave Roseanne. All right. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.